Hey, you okay?
Oh, some damn enchiladas. Oh.
You gonna be all right?
Welcome back to another episode. It's Them Damaged Lots Podcast, the longest running podcast dedicated to Roy Burns' Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, that is hosted by one Adam Griffin, Carl Silvera, Rob Christie, and our podcast producer from the stars lurking in the shadows, Mr. Mark Warren. Greetings and hello. We're back for episode 73. If you did not hear episode 72, we talked about Terrifier and Terrifier Part 2. And today, we're going to be getting to the spirit of traps by talking about Jigsaw and Spiral. Also today, if things go as planned, we will be inducting a brand new member into the Hoffman Haters Club. That's right, because we here hate one character named Hoffman from the Saw series. So we're going to kick that off by seeing if Rob Christie is our latest member in the Hoffman Haters Club. Rob, I heard that you made your way through a couple of Saw movies before hitting up Jigsaw and Spiral. And this is your first foray into the franchise as a whole, right?
Yeah, I watched the first movie sometime back and never got into any of the sequels. So before this episode, I was instructed to watch 2 through 7. And then, you know, the two movies we're going to talk about most today. And there was a particular moment where I was like, at first I was like, Hoffman's not that bad. And then we got to specifically, spoiler alert, by the way, to the end of Saw 5. And that fucking smirk as Agent Drom is about to get smashed into a whole lot of little pieces. And he's just sliding away safely into the glass coffin. And I'm just like, okay, now I get it. Fuck this guy.
We last talked about Saw as a franchise way back in the olden times of episode 11. So if you want to hear my thoughts about it, Carlos' thoughts about it, you can drift on back and hit the archives. But Rob, what are your thoughts concerning the progression of the franchise leading up into Jigsaw and Spiral?
Well, let's keep this kind of short. I was into 2. I was into 3. 4's all right. 5, starting to slip. 6, starting to slip a little further. 7, I'm not going to lie, I hate the 3D gimmick. I have never liked it in any movie that has tried to use it. It's like, hey, let's just swing around to all these weird fucked up shots so that we can get the gimmick in and maybe make a little bit more money selling 3D glasses or whatever. I don't know what the motivation of the 3D gimmick actually is. I just know I don't care for it.
The movie company itself, had a lot of faith in Saw 3D.
Texas 3D Blast-O-Rama.
Yeah, that too.
Not a fan of that effect. I'm going to be honest, it's the only one of these movies that I like actively didn't care for. Like I said, 2, 3, 4, I enjoyed. 5 and 6, 7 can just fuck right off. There's one good thing about Seven, and that's that it gives future movies a thread to ply. That's it. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that shit, I'll tell you what.
Okay. That's a good catch up as to your thoughts as on the franchise heading into Jigsaw. And we've never really talked about Jigsaw here like that. I don't think. Episode 11 was a long time ago. Jigsaw. Let's start with our resident Saw expert, Juan Carlos Rivera.
Is that part of my resume that I can put out there?
Yeah, people check it out. It goes back and forth.
I think so. I feel like it's. Oh, it's on this week. All right, my expertise is here. yeah, man, part seven sucks. But even in the how they start the movie off with the trap outdoors,
yeah,
where people can see it happening, that's where I feel like it started losing its majestic shine that it had. And I was like, oh man, but they did bring back good old Dr. Lawrence. That was like, yeah. when I first saw Part 7, I was like, oh, that's sneaky what you did. Had they not painted it with 3D colors, then maybe I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. But it left us in a good position before Jigsaw cleared out everybody that was left.
Including Hoffman.
I mean, did it?
We'll find out in a couple of weeks with Saw X.
Oh yeah, we'll find out if things are settled or finished.
Yeah.
No one, my dumbass Hoffman shows back up. Oh my
god. Well, we'll get into how he could show back up. Because there's a whole lot of folks inspired by Jigsaw now. A whole lot of people that have been either rehabilitated or taken by his process to the point of no return. Because, you know, first seven movies kind of go through the cycle and you end up with Hoffman and Dr. Gordon kind of closing off that thread for a little bit, you know, so it seems. Then we get into Jigsaw, the movie. The prequel, sequel, that nobody, I don't see a whole lot of goodwill towards this movie. Granted, like the bones of it are fine. The story itself is fine. Just the execution of it, it seems like it's a little bit too in the know on the process of what's presumed to be a Saw movie. Like everybody's in on the joke of a overarching Saw movie, except for the movie itself. So the procession of events is kind of weird, you know? Everybody's a suspect. Nobody's likable. I mean, my God, this might have the best worst victims in a Saw movie until Spiral. And by best worst, I mean these people suck.
Yeah.
that crowd picked for Jigsaw is just horrible. Everybody, there's no sense of remorse for their actions. You're rooting for the traps, which is a part of the franchise, yeah. But you still want that glimmer of hope, I guess, even in a pyrrhic victory. But nobody deserves to get out of it. Nobody does get out.
Nope.
So yeah, Jigsaw, thoughts on Jigsaw as a whole from you guys?
What's with all those weird cuts? The incredibly jarring jump cuts just throughout that movie.
Well, it came out, it's 2017, so I guess stylistically it works for the series, but it's about 10 years too late.
And maybe that's the problem. I was coming at it, you know, 6 years after it came out. So I'm like, and I wasn't really in that space at the time when it came out, so I wouldn't have seen it. But it was very jarring to me every time it just jump cut to seem for seemingly no real reason. Almost like they were just trying to cut content that they like maybe later planned to have in an unrated release or something. But it wasn't before anything particularly awful was going to happen. So it's just like, don't want that, don't want that, don't want that, get it out.
So you're saying the editors could have used their cutting tools more efficiently, huh?
I think so, perhaps. That's about as strong as my opinion's ever going to get on that. Something felt weird to me, because it's not like I know shit about editing. But,
I don't, but I pretend to.
Well, yeah.
Hey, you got to fake it till you make it, right?
For those watching the podcast, I'm giving him the double guns.
I wonder if that was the result of like how it was made, because the guy that edited it is the guy that edited every movie in the Saw series. Like that didn't change. And he also directed 6 and 7. But like, I don't know, to me, the whole feeling of this movie is like, it feels like fans of the Saw series made it. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And like, not in a reverential way, you know, but kind of in a, hey, everybody's going to dig this. All these people suck. They're going to like this. They're going to like these traps. And I hate to keep coming back to the traps, but those are some really intricate traps for an apprentice.
the laser hat or laser collar, I should say.
That moment when I first saw it, and puts the laser on himself, I'm like, are you God damn it. How are you going to make me believe now this dude just got sliced up, he's going to get sliced up by lasers when you faked it out? Bastards.
At least it was a cool effect when it went off.
I mean, at least that.
Yeah, but how many pieces can you split a human head into? Apparently about 8.
Like a pizza.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Laser flower power on that one. Yeah, I liked it. It's weird because I think if that ending reveal wasn't so dialed into the presentation of let's just call it Batman voice. If that just didn't happen, if dude had just calmly explained the stuff, and if he didn't go straight up into vigilante 101 voice, it might have felt a bit better, I think. But once he went full monotone, that was sorry. No, we don't want to see this continue at that point.
No.
And what's with the angry detective that everyone muscles in on the law, doing crazy stuff? Why is it that we have like one in every movie?
In the world of Saw, every institution sucks. Every cop is corrupt. Every business is failing and desperate. No one can get what they need. It is very scary reflection of real life.
I was about to say, healthcare is all fucked up. Insurance is completely crooked.
Which makes it timely for the worst goddamn reasons. Like, these movies are not an escape. These movies are rough. Which leads me to I guess we can loop in the spiral now and then just take things as we go. But and I'll pose this off as our opening question, since I saw this sentiment a lot when I was looking over stuff before the episode. Is Spiral the worst Saw movie? That's both a rhetorical question and kind of one with an obvious answer, but I'll let y'all tackle that one first.
No, it's not the worst movie.
Right.
Agreed. That honor goes to Seven, in my opinion.
There's no way that number Seven loses out. It's awfulness to Spiral. Spiral was just different.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird, like, because I watched it and it's the first time watching it, actually. I'd been avoiding it for some reason because
it reminds you of the plague.
Kind of sentiment around it. I've noticed that so-called horror fans don't like when universes expand, when stories expand, especially when marginalized folks are at the forefront. People get a little shitty in their dislike. So I was like, all right, do I really want to go up this, deal with this crap? And I watched it. And then we got to the ending. And then when I found myself cheering at the screen with the way the movie ended, I said, okay, come on. How can people hate this movie? That was a great ending. And of course, people were, this is the worst movie ever. Which, let's get hyperbole out of rhetoric in general, folks, because some of y'all sound real dumb. what was your all's favorite moments in this one?
I hate to go straight to the meta lines, but I'm gonna. It's still Chris Rock saying this is some New Jack City shit. And I'm just like, wait, hold up. You can't be doing that.
Like I said, do you think he just thinks Pookie looks a lot like him?
He looks like Pookie. He thinks his dad looks like Gator from Jungle Fever. Yeah, man, it's gotta be rough.
We're here every 2 weeks, guys. We're here every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. We
had to take it a little bit away from you guys. We're giving you too much of that on a weekly basis, and now we wait, bi-weekly, so you guys can handle the hot fire that Adam Griffin is spitting. Mm.
But I thought the ending was pretty good, actually. It's like, hey, everything that was essentially prophesied ends up fucking happening. Cops don't ask questions. And they didn't ask any questions. They just saw someone they thought was pointing a gun at him with intent to shoot and said, nope, we're not gonna have that. Meanwhile, William's just slinking off like, I fucking told you, man. And then he just disappears. It's like, whoops. Y'all fucked up. I'm curious to see how much they fucked up. And I hope we get to find out eventually.
Now, do we think that there's a reason why it's called Saw 10?
Yeah. Right? So they consider it.
This is what I'm thinking, that they are planning this out well and connecting it to the other seven. And we haven't heard anything otherwise. We haven't heard. So
the only thing we really know is that it takes place between the first and the second one, or some of it does.
Right. Yeah, because that trailer is very precise. And it shows all the traps, which is, well, most of the traps, we think. So they're either very set on what they're doing in that movie, or they're hiding a lot from the audience. I hope they're hiding a lot from the audience, because I think Spiral really opened up a point where it just kind of shows, okay, this is how this world is. Nothing works correctly. Even the implements of justice are flawed and one-sided, and nobody wins. And with that said, I guess you can think, okay, is the idea of Jigsaw, John Kramer, whatever, is that idea this twisted world's moral compass? And this is what happens when it's removed and misused?
Oh, that's... Why'd you have to put that thought in my head? Oh,
that's what he likes to do.
Oh, man.
We're here every 2 weeks. Couldn't handle it, you know, every week. So.
That's so bad. And you probably nailed it, which doesn't make it any better. In fact, no.
Because again, throughout the franchise, there is not a single redemptive source throughout any of these movies, and it's always taken away. What happens? In the first one, dude gets locked in the bathroom, dies, right? Second one, is that Mark
that's
Wahlberg?
His brother.
That's Donnie. His brother. Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah, Wahlberg's.
I did that same shit, so don't feel too bad.
No, I won't.
he wasn't talking like a mass, you know, a Southie, so.
Right, yeah.
That's what you have to remember. There's no accent. It's not him.
Right. So, Donnie Wahlberg gets caught, killed in part three. Anyway, he sticks around through four, right? Yeah.
He gets killed in part four.
He gets kidnapped towards the end of four.
Because three and four take place at the same time. Rig, the cop from four, gets shot in the end, dies off screen at that.
Get the on-screen death. What the fuck?
Yeah, all the cops from 1 through 3, dead. Strong, dead. Hoffman, bad guy, jerk, asshole, dead.
It's not dead.
Apprentice number one from Jigsaw, Batman, worthless. He's Batman. Batman doesn't. Batman just goes after villains. Doesn't redeem anybody. Whatever. Ezekiel Banks, traumatized, PSD, scar for life.
Like that dude had been through a bunch of shit already. And then the end of that movie happens. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and all the trauma, you know, PSD, and scar for life comes from before the cop killer stuff. So like there's no source of light.
there's one person that's been through his trials that's still alive.
This is true.
That could be a source of redemption. He could actually be the one to gather them all up. All these disciples that are not truly following the way.
Yep. One Dr. Gordon. Absolutely correct. What does that look like? We got more traps. They call a meeting. Jigsaw Anonymous.
They call him meeting. Hi, my name is Dr. Gordon. Hi, Dr. Gordon.
I
like to put people in traps.
We're going to need you to come in on Sunday.
Yeah, we got a little.
We're going to have coffee and donuts.
You forgot to fill out your TPS report.
What does the expense account look like for making up all these traps? Like, are you taking cash to the hardware store every 4 days? Like, what's going on?
I mean, who the hell? There's got to be a metal crafter, at least, involved in this. Because who the hell is making all these giant clockwork gears for a clockwork mechanism that's, how old was it? Like 300 years old or something like that?
Well, let's talk about that trap that took out Mario Van Peebles' kid.
Mandela.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that was a great one, actually. I was actually really happy about that one. He sold a bad motorcycle to a kid.
I didn't know that was Mario Van Peebles' kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, what the hell was that he went through? Like the world's shittiest blender.
Yeah, pretty much.
This job.
Yeah,
it worked. He was trapped. It worked.
That one does not need to be returned.
No, they can leave that. They can leave out a lot of what happened in that movie if they want to. It's fine.
What was up with the fucking museum? The Museum of Traps.
Oh yeah, I just like Hottie had them.
Yeah, I just like how that didn't go anywhere.
I think that was just somewhere.
That was a red herring.
Well, yeah, look at her. She has all the traps. Oh yeah, I just really like collecting. You sick fuck.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be her, but it wasn't.
That was too easy. Too simple. I was waiting for him to just be like this, how her side gig was just posing nude on those things.
Robert.
What? Tell me that wouldn't sell to the, now in this, that universe, tell me that wouldn't sell to people.
Robert.
So you want to.
This universe, what are you talking about? Oh,
there is somebody else still alive, by the way, besides the doctor. The guy who faked the hooks through his chest and then actually had to put the hooks through his chest. He survived. Does he have any redeeming qualities?
No.
Questionable.
Nope.
Is he scarred forever? Fuck yeah.
He lied about it. He lied about being assaulted.
And now he can say it and it's true. God, that dude is awful. Like, even in that universe, that dude is remarkably shitty. How do you make up that story? How does anybody believe it?
Well,
I guess there's no one to fucking tell him otherwise.
Rob, that's not too far off from any of the hundreds of stories that we see on the internet today of people lying. We got people faking races out here. Like, like it's not far from.
I'd like to believe that's not true, even though I realistically can't believe it's not true. Because it is.
Sometimes your dad might get shot in front of you, and then the cop will just tell you to shh.
Yeah. It's not far, unfortunately.
I officially want Saw 11 with Ezekiel just going through that plan.
What about?
Yeah, but we know what 10's about. Well, I guess we don't entirely know what 10's about, but.
I could see Ezekiel showing up in a framing device for part 10. Him trying to follow the pieces to get one step ahead of everything. You know.
And that comes out September, right?
Yeah.
29th. Yeah.
They've seeded their Halloween spot for some reason.
So, just theoretically, what happens if Zeke and the doctor encounter each other?
Somebody's getting pistol whipped.
I like how it's somebody, because it could be either one of them. It could be both of them over a long enough timeline.
Yeah, but I think there's a story there with him several years removed from the events of Spiral. trying to navigate that kind of underworld and who knows? I mean, here's a fun one. So we have this idea, right, that John Kramer's work can inspire people to create their own puppeted persona, I guess. You know, you got Billy the Puppet, you get the pig marionette from Spiral. I think an interesting thing to see, and it would be something that, again, you have to kind of hold off the reveal and all the traps and everything until the very end. But just kind of see someone get so thoroughly disgusted with their world that they kind of come across John Kramer's MO and say, okay, I'm going to make me one of these. And I'm going to get my revenge. I think seeing a movie leading up to that would be very interesting.
So are they entirely missing the point? Or is John Kramer's point kind of bullshit anyway? Because like you said, no one ever actually gets redeemed.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's bullshit because he's killing people. He's killing people over...
Can we agree that some of them really deserved it?
In a world where the system doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And
like
where it goes on your morals.
You could
in fiction as opposed to real life is a whole other thing.
That's very fair. But you could, in that universe, you could definitely look at some of the people who end up being his victims and say, you did what? Fuck you. You're a monster. You deserved every bit of what happened to you here.
Yeah.
Because you inflicted, you know, the same kind of suffering on countless other people in some instances, or, you know, on eight families worth of people. And I just forgot what fucking movie that was.
The insurance one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part six.
Part six. Thank you, Carlos.
My
brain was like, no, you're not going to remember that now. This is an opportunity for you to look stupid.
R6 is when Eddie Winslow gets it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's on the merry-go-round. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what I liked in Spiral 2 is, William doesn't even, set up that pretense of, any kind of rehabilitation. He's just after revenge. Nobody's getting out of those traps regardless of what they do.
That's why that's the main reason I mentioned, you know, people missing the point. Except that, like we previously pointed out, the point is horseshit. It's contrivance.
Mm-hmm.
Self-justification. For just wanting, you know, effectively just wanting revenge on the world that in case of Jigsaw robbed him of his family.
What does that police department look like a few years later?
Yeah.
State's coming in, take him over.
An empty fucking building. Hopefully.
In a bid to keep Zeke quiet, is he now the police chief? Is part of his penance to keep the secrets?
I don't think
you're just setting up the rest of the cops that end up under his purview perfectly if you do that. Now, granted, they don't have a clue they're doing that. Presumably, they have no idea, so maybe that's exactly what happens. That's what we get in Spiral 2 in 2026.
Spiral what? Let's focus on one movie at a time, please.
We're focusing on like nine movies.
You think this universe is going to get a Jigsaw task force?
Which universe?
It's just the Saw universe in general.
I would say no. Only because they don't know what they're doing half the time. These cops. Yeah.
The incompetence is staggering. How do they get to someone inside the goddamn station like that? And of course, the answer is, you know, there was inside help. But how did no one even think that that was a possibility? They were all too busy just being shitty and racist. They never questioned anybody. It's like, hey, are you letting motherfuckers in our back door? And it's just like, and that question almost never gets asked. I think it literally never gets asked.
Because it seems like there's always a person that they can find the reason to give them.
Mm-hmm. The meth head.
Meth head. Yep. Oh, God. The ones from part two or later? There's a couple of meth heads.
Yeah, there's a couple. That's probably weird to say, but...
There's a bunch of meth heads, you know.
Fucking meth.
Trying to differentiate between the two of them. There's Abby. Abby's the one in part two.
Okay, yeah.
He's the one that gets killed in the fire burner.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's one of the nastier kills, and it's almost funny in a way that's one of the worst kills because it leaves like the most intact body of all the nasty ass kills in the movie. Because you got, you know, half of him gets out and then the rest of him gets so traumatized by fire that he dies. And it's just like, ooh, no. Kind of awful to think of. But luckily, the back of his head was left completely intact.
Mm. Oh, that wasn't done by purpose.
Definitely not.
Had the girl from Seventh Heaven in there. Yeah, yeah. Part two is actually really good.
Yeah.
Part two is actually one of my favorites.
Here's a fun one. Will the Saw series ever get beyond John Kramer?
I mean, it feels like Spiral tried, and I don't know how much money did it make.
It made twice its budget. So
twice its budget.
Don't know how much it made on video rentals and all that.
It was like a $20 million budget, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it made 40. So it at least has an opportunity.
Would Spiral have been more effective if they hadn't have marketed it as a Saw movie? If they had just called it Spiral?
Yeah.
And then let people realize that it was connected?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because the performances are great in it. Especially Samuel Jackson in that one. Just for a limited amount of... The fact that this dude got in that trap for that last sequence, an actor of his stature goes all in on a movie like that. Phenomenal.
And right. That's why he did the movie.
Yeah.
It's because of the last scene.
Yep. Absolutely phenomenal. Chris Rock, when he is outside of comedy mode and working on serious drama parts that are of his own idea, is really good. If you need a hint, watch Top 5. Great movie. But he's great in the movie too. Marissa Nichols, fantastic. Just excellent cast all around. Yeah, I think it would have done substantially better if it wasn't marketed as being directly connected to Saw, which leads me to the next question. Are these movies kind of coasting on their own reputation to an extent, a little bit too much?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I'm not even sure that it's totally bad that they do. It's probably at least kind of bad, but it also gets us more Tobin Bell, so not entirely sure. I don't hate it, that's for sure. Is it bad for the franchise? Yes, but well, obviously it's not permanently bad for it because it's still here.
I think you bring up a good point though, and like it kind of goes back to your last question, Adam. Like, I don't know that the series can survive no Tobin Bell in the long term. Like, they're going back to bringing him back in again. He's been dead since the third movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the first three are your original trilogy. After that, you've got Hoffman Saga.
That's what should be renamed. Saw the Hoffman Saga. So people know what they're getting themselves into.
Okay, that's a spoiler for the fourth movie, though.
So somebody has got to cut a short video on YouTube, right? Play Hello Zip, but it's just Hoffman smirking for like 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
every time
just,
he goes,
just a super cut of smirks, right? And Hello Zip.
Oh, and they call it
the Hoffman song.
I like to play a game.
But like, so in Jigsaw, like, you know, he doesn't show up until probably like halfway through the movie on screen. And when he does, he owns the screen. Like he owns these movies when he's in them. I think with Spiral, you know, they cast Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson. And I actually liked how they, you know, I remember when we talked about Spiral, when the trailer came out on one of these episodes, in the trailer, they show Samuel Jackson, you know, the part where he's says, you want to play a game, motherfucker? And instantly thinking like he's dying in the first scene, like he's going to die at the beginning of the movie. Like that's what's going to kind of set the whole thing into motion. And they actually string you along, pun intended, throughout the whole movie. You know, every time he's on screen, you're kind of like, all right, is it here? Is it here? So like it's effective in that instance, but you know, that's, I don't know how many times they can do that.
Right.
You know, so, and maybe with Dr. Gordon, if they're going to bring him back in, maybe he's maybe Cary Elwes is a big enough figure from the first movie and can kind of carry that from there, but I don't know. I don't know that they can survive no John Kramer.
Unless they tell me that Dr. Gordon's his alter ego is Pierre Despero. I don't think we're going to see any more of Cary Elwes in this series.
Inconceivable.
Always keep Psych in the rotation, folks.
Always. Pierre Despero. That's why it's only really funny. Every time I watch the movie, that's what I think about. I just think of Pierre Despero was trying to get out of something he got himself into again. That crazy Pierre.
Let's see. Is there, I don't know how to put this, because there's a lot of loose ends still in a franchise that seemingly ties them all off every movie. Even in Jigsaw, you get the sense that this dude's talking a lot of shit, but he isn't really going to go to the lengths of rigging up more traps. So for a series that is open-ended enough to continue on feasibly for a long time, is there an ending for this? Like, because we're already seeing that characters can be inspired by the Jigsaw Killer and everything. So is there a scenario when we get, you know, we get past Saw 10 and we get, you know, 11, 12, 13, they decide to end whenever, however many years down the road. Is there ever going to be a final chapter?
You mean another final chapter, right?
The final chapter.
The final of all final chapters?
Yes. It's Saw, so it must be Halloween for the last time. Or some mess like that. I don't know.
when they stop making money.
I was going to say that probably is the actual answer. Once they quit making money, they don't, you know, they don't really care creatively how it ends.
You know what I'm saying? If you're making a part 11 of something, you're still trying to make that money.
Yeah.
So as long as you can keep doing it, I can see them going on. Because in this world that they've drawn up for us, there are people who are following him. You know, we just one instance in Jigsaw, where we find out, you know, that she has all his like traps and he knows everything about Jigsaw. So there are plenty of people out there who would continue it. So the franchise can go on forever.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear some numbers real quick?
Yeah, I just brought up. Yeah, go ahead.
So give me some numbers.
The budget for the entire franchise so far is $97 million. The worldwide revenue is $1
billion. Yeah, we're not seeing the end.
People like the gory stuff.
It's never
well. Ended. The thing is, creatively speaking, just ignoring the money part, you've set it up so that there's no clean ending. There's no way to end it cleanly because of all the potential people that John Kramer has inspired. You can take those threads and you can carry them forever. Because, you know, you have, and you've got in laid out in Jigsaw, you have like the widest disparity of inspired folks, from people who just post fucked up shit on the internet to, you know, the mortuary worker who decides, let's take it a step beyond. Let's really carry on this man's work.
Spiral is the least successful. It came out in the middle of the pandemic and it doubled its money.
Yeah.
So even the least successful movie still did okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because did it get I don't think it got a theatrical release.
Spiral?
Yeah.
No, Spiral only came out. I don't remember it coming out in the movie theater because they pushed it back. When they pushed it back.
Okay, yeah, it was theatrically released on May 14th, 2021.
That's that's a rough time for a movie release.
We were all still in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May 21st, 2021.
Wasn't it one of the first movies that was available to like rent at home?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not just reading up on it real quick. I didn't realize they had an NC-17 rating. Originally,
oh yeah.
Jeez, they got the rating 11 times before they finally cut enough scenes to get an R rating.
11 times, damn.
Yeah, so something got shown that shouldn't have been shown.
Now I want them to release the unrated version, just because I'm very curious what they cut.
Gonna have to wait a while for that one.
Yeah. And if I had to guess, it would just be even more explicit versions of tongues being pulled out or fingers being ripped off.
There was some talk of doing a Spiral TV show. Do you think they ever go the route of doing any kind of Saw television?
I think if they pay attention to what Child's Play was able to do on the TV show, then they could definitely.
Yeah.
I would be very interested to see if they could actually succeed doing that. Given that a fair amount of Saw's popularity has got to be from, you know, gore heads.
Yep.
Or fiends, however you'd like to address people who are mostly into.
There are a few television networks that will show it.
Yeah, Stars would, because Stars did not give a shit about Ash vs. Evil Dead, and that showed some gross stuff. So, but hell, I mean, considering what we saw on regular network TV for Hannibal. It's like, what are we really?
Yes, Hannibal.
Yeah,
they show some pretty fucked up stuff. To put it succinctly.
To put it mildly. In that case, I hope someone try. I hope they try.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll know more after that first weekend.
So we have a couple more. We have 2 months to see. Wait, no, it comes out next month. Yeah, next month.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it does. You know, I really hope there's a I really hope there's a twist, something that just doesn't saddle it, you know, in between one and two. Well, give me something for the future, whatever it is, you know.
Plant some seeds.
No, from what I've read, unfortunately, I can spoil it for you guys now if you want and just get it over with. Okay, just making sure. I read a spoiler and I wasn't. I don't know how I got to it. I mainly avoid spoilers on the internet because I just stay off the internet.
People are more than happy to fuck shit like that up for everybody else.
Yep. I got spoiled on Dark Knight Rises on a damn Halo Reddit.
That's fucked
up. How screwed up is that?
That ain't right. Don't do that, internet. Don't post spoilers in weird spots without a bunch of goddamn markers that say, hey, by the way, I have to spoil the shit out of this thing that most people don't know about. Cut it out.
It's okay. You know, I got spoiled that Han Solo died in Force Awakens. So that was great.
Me too.
And I literally made it to the last day, like to the day that I was going to watch the movie. And then I find that out.
That's
and I'm like,
did you have this experience, Carlos, where you like, okay, it's going to happen at the beginning of the movie, surely. So like the whole movie won't be ruined for me. The whole movie won't build up to this moment happening.
Yeah, right.
Wait, it still hasn't happened yet. Oh, we're getting pretty far into this movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really wish I didn't know that.
That was just... When that scene happened, I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I was like, this is why I gotta stay away from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
Internet's bad for our health.
Sixth Sense, IRC.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, that can only be one person.
Who could have done that?
It wasn't even intentional. It was just a comment that was made. It was enough of a comment for me to put two things together and then realize, oh, no. Oh, no, this isn't the twist. And then I'm watching the movie in the theater, looking around at everybody like, it's so obvious. How do they not know?
I didn't know, so it wasn't obvious.
No, it wasn't obvious. I just had it spoiled.
That's a tough one.
I kind of wonder if I would have seen Jigsaw a little bit differently, because I think the fact that I already knew that it was a little bit of a prequel kind of changed how I watched it. Like, maybe if I had seen it and not known that, I might have felt a little bit differently about how that played out, but it just, I don't know, like you guys said, it just felt very on the nose.
He killed the guy that set off the bomb with a sniper rifle. Like, they just commonly show that in one of the scenes when he's explaining everything. They surround the guy, but no, it's the mortuary guy. He's the one who decides to kill with a sniper rifle that no one heard. He just cleaned up his mess and left.
Well, to that end, too, I also want to know how William gets away from the SWAT team. He's like 10 feet away. Like, he closed the door and they don't see him. Like,
The only way that works is if even the SWAT team's in on it. Because he does give it away. He says, you know, cops shoot first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that's another threat they can follow. It's like, okay, how many people are in on this? And, you know, even so, you got the former chief of police trussed up in a marionette, as a marionette. Surely all these people know who he is.
Somebody would have recognized him, you think?
Somebody would have recognized him. So then the question becomes, okay, how many people are really in on this? Okay, so yeah, so what if, to what extent have people already bought into William's plan? Maybe Zeke wasn't the first he tried to recruit.
Maybe it's just an entire cult. Excuse me.
I've been waiting for one of these movies.
I actually wouldn't be mad. I really would not be mad if they did that. Like, all right. Because my thought was they're just fucking incompetent. Just the biggest bunch of dipshits possible. Because not only is the Saw universe entirely filled with like broken, corrupt institutions, they're also all really fucking bad at what they do. Like, how the fuck did Hoffman get away with anything? How? This dude is not slick.
That smirk.
He just steals evidence. No one ever notices that he takes shit right out of the evidence locker.
No, isn't there one? I remember seeing where he specifically took all the stuff.
Yeah, he just grabbed shit. He just grabbed.
He didn't sign anything out. He did not sign. There was no chain of custody.
Correct. And not only that, the other FBI agent, like the other special or the special agent, not Drom, but I can't remember the other guy's name, is in there talking to him while he's grabbing this shit, and he doesn't notice a goddamn thing. How did you ever become any kind of agent of anything, dude? What is wrong with you? It's not like Hoffman was being slick about it either. He's just holding this shit in his hands. It's like, yep, I'm out of here. It's like, did you sign that out? God damn it. It's frustrating how stupid all these characters are.
Some of them.
If the characters are stupid, it must be Saw.
God damn it.
Well, yeah, all the comedy cops got killed off.
And still, once Taft died off screen, what kind of shit was that? It's like, no, that's it. That's it for the department. There's nobody else who knows what they're doing left. They're all dead.
They're all dicks.
They are all dicks. Sorry. Matthews was a piece of shit. Like, they just kind of they gloss over about how he he arrested all these people with evidence that wasn't even real. It's like, come on now. And this dude is continuing to operate as a cop after everyone basically knows he was full of shit. It's like, wait, how is he still a police officer? How is he not in jail? And of course, the answer is all the institutions are broken and corrupt in equal parts. So nobody cared.
Was Detective Singh decent, or was he just not around long enough?
He died off screen too, didn't he?
It was pretty on screen. Was it? A couple shotguns above him.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
Taps partner.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, his pictures in the
memorial,
sitting up in the ceremony. Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't actually. Real time with him.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We just don't. We know he's dead. We just don't know if he was also a corrupt sack of crap. as far as I know, the only like relatively clean cop was Tad.
Yep.
Everybody else had some shit going on. Except Zeke. Zeke didn't.
And yeah, and he became bitter and jaded and had his life ruined again.
Yep. But don't worry, there will be no consequences of that. Nothing bad will happen because of that. I winked at the camera for those of y'all listening, which is all of you.
Probably you listen to this podcast, which is all of you.
Yeah, that's it. I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Rock back.
Same. Road.
I can live with that.
All right. What's that?
No. I just remember another kill. This is what happens. Once you start talking about Saw, more kills start getting in my head. like the wax on the porn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was.
That was brutal.
That was brutal.
That was brutal.
Her only friend.
What was it?
I said it was like his only friend.
Yep. Who was also.
Well, yeah. That's how she got it.
Yep. Don't root for anybody in Saw, because they might go away.
They're either going to go away, or they're just going to be just something else fuck awful is going to happen to them.
Yes.
Either way, they're screwed. You're in a Saw either movie, way. You're screwed.
That's right. But what isn't screwed is this episode, because, gentlemen, I had a fantastic time talking about Jigsaw, talking about Spiral. And what we'll talk about next time is a mystery. In order to find out what it is, you will have to listen to the next episode of It's Them Damaged Lots podcast. What? Yes. This is what happens when I close the show. Here I open the show next time. Listen to the next episode of It's the Damaged Lots podcast. We'll be here. Until then, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Welcome, everyone, to Comics School, the podcast that takes you on an exciting journey through the captivating world of comics and education. I'm your host, Mike Dando, an education researcher, teacher educator, and above all, lifelong comics nerd. Join me as we delve into the powerful intersection of popular culture, civic literacy, and classroom pedagogy. Here at Comic School, we believe that comics are so much more than just colorful pages and speech bubbles. They are a gateway to imagination, a source of inspiration, and a medium for deep and meaningful learning. In each episode, we'll be bringing you engaging discussions with a wide range of guests in various fields. Together, we'll explore everything from effective literacy teaching strategies to the visionary designs of cities for tomorrow. Whether you're a lifelong comics aficionado, an educator looking for innovative teaching strategies, or simply someone curious about the power of visual storytelling, we've got something special in store for you. Comic School brings you engaging discussions with an array of extraordinary guests. Comic School, by comics folks, for everyone.